ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति। In the previous class, by way of understanding Hiranyagarbha as the highest position to be accomplished as the result of, the highest result of any action, especially the result of the meditation, the highest benefit can be accomplished as a result of practicing meditation or performance of ritual or equivalent amount of punyam one can earn by doing any other mundane activities also, is the Hiranyagarbha status position. Which means, there is no moksha accomplishable as a result of karma. For moksha, what is needed is, the means is only jnanam. And knowledge itself is moksha. Knowledge alone is the only means for moksha. That is why it is specifically said, even though Hiranyagarbha is the highest position accomplishable, still it is only result, it is the result accomplishable as a result of the action, but not moksha. That's made clear. But by way of introducing this Hiranyagarbha as the highest position, we also understood the concept of Ishvara. Ishvara, the Lord, is only a title given to the reality from the standpoint of the worlds which are experienced in the gross and subtle worlds. And this universe is not created, it is only manifestation, it is said. And we look at the Lord as the creator of the universe means, why do we look at the Lord as the creator of the universe? Again, a standpoint. From the standpoint of the gross universe, which experienced in the waking state, which enjoys the status of being existent, we look at Hiranyagarbha as the Ishvara, the Lord. The whole universe, the gross universe itself, looked upon as the manifestation of knowledge, we look at the gross universe itself is called Virat Ishvara. But who is the creator of this Virat, the gross manifestation? We say Hiranyagarbha. The creator, Hiranyagarbha, does not create anything. Hiranyagarbha is not the creator, but the creator of the gross universe is Hiranyagarbha. Or is called Brahma. Brahmaji, we say. Why? Because Hiranyagarbha again is what? A status. Is a name given to what? Manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge manifests is Hiranyagarbha. And only when there is manifestation of knowledge, there is a world which enjoys the status of being existent. If there is no manifestation of knowledge, the world will lose its status of being existent. Therefore, the existence of the world is dependent on the manifestation of the knowledge. And the knowledge manifest is what? Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, we say from the standpoint of the gross universe, Hiranyagarbha is the creator of creator. Again, Hiranyagarbha also, being the manifestation of knowledge, is looked upon as Hiranyagarbha. In the standpoint of the Hiranyagarbha, the subtle manifestation, the knowledge manifest is what? Subtle manifestation. And after the manifestation of knowledge which is subtle manifestation, the gross manifestation comes into existence. So gross manifestation is dependent on the subtle manifestation in terms of manifestation of knowledge, which is always called Hiranyagarbha. And subtle manifestation in terms of manifestation of knowledge itself is possible only if there is a source of manifestation as pure knowledge. So from the standpoint of Hiranyagarbha, the pure knowledge itself is looked upon as what? Ishvara. And because the pure knowledge happens to be the source of manifestation, we appreciate from the standpoint of the manifestation, we look at the reality as the one endowed with the power of manifesting. Therefore, its reality is given the status of being the Antaryamishvara. Is it clear now? So what is Virat? What is Hiranyagarbha? What is Antaryamishvara? This was made very clear last class. Which means, there is no creator. Creator is a qualification, status attributed to the knowledge from the standpoint of the world, experienced objective universe. Now, in the subject matter which I have been unfolding, the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the next topic that has to be taken up is the avyaktam, otherwise called avyakritam. Avyakritam or avyaktam, because we already talked about what? Srishti, discussed the Srishti, but now we have to understand avyaktam or avyakritam. This avyaktam or avyakritam is also known as maya, prakritihi. Remember all these words. Prakritihi, maya, avyaktam, avyakritam, or avyakritihi. All these words are synonyms. When you say, before the universe originated, before the creation of this universe, what was there? What must have been there? Because when you say this gross universe, gross manifestation, when you look at it as the manifestation of knowledge, we call it Virat Ishvara. And when we look at this Hiranyagarbha as subtle manifestation is Hiranyagarbha, and the source of manifestation, which is ended with the power of manifesting, is looked upon as Antaryamishvara. Isn't it? So here we are using the term avyakritam or avyaktam, avyakritihi maya. So before this origination, where the universe was created, what was avyaktam, avyakritihi, maya. Avyaktam, Sanskrit word means unmanifest. Vyaktam means manifest. I explained to you long ago, being manifest means being perceptible, being available for perception and objectification. Experience is being manifest. Being unmanifest means not being available for objectification, experience or perception. Being imperceptible is being unmanifest. So the world was unmanifest. When it's unmanifest, it means also undifferentiated, unexpanded. In expansion, differentiation is possible. In unexpansion, differentiation is not possible. So, avyakritam. So, how everything remained as all the cognitions, all the knowledge, remained as one mass, means Therefore, all the forms, names and functions, in terms of abodes of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, objects of enjoyment, bhogya vastuni, bhogya prapanchaha, bhogya vishayaha, bhoga sadhanani, bhoga ayatanani, abodes of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, objects of enjoyment, all of them with different forms, names and functions, all of them remained as one truth. And here we have to include, whenever we talk about the unmanifest, we have to include what importantly? Our Sanchita Karmani. All our Sanchita Karmani, accumulated, unexhausted, accumulation of unexhausted results of the previously performed actions, and they also remain unmanifest. So always we should include this Sanchita Karmani, Sanchita Karmas, also in the Avyaktam. Because when does the manifestation begin? It is the karma which determines the time of manifestation. When the portion of Sanchitam is ready for fructification as prarabdha. Karmas are ready for fructification, then karmas have to be exhausted. Karma palani, the fruits of prarabdha karma, Sanchitam karma has to be ready for fructification as prarabdha, and prarabdha has to be exhausted. And for which, for exhaustion of prarabdha karma, exhaustion of prarabdha karma means experience, going through the experience of pains and pleasures. Okay, going through the paths of opposites, going experience of pains and pleasures means what? Exhaustion of prarabdha karma. So exhaustion of karma means you have to go through the experience of pains and pleasures. And for us to go through the experience of pains and pleasures, we need what? What is important? Objects of enjoyment, abodes of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, they all must be there. That's why in deep sleep state, why we don't go through any paths of opposites? We don't exhaust any punyam or papam in deep sleep state. There's neither punyam nor papam in deep sleep state. Know why? When the parabdha ends, we fall asleep. Next day, parabdha is ready, we wake up. In deep sleep state, we go through neither pain nor pleasure, because in deep sleep state, the physical body is not used. The instruments of knowledge are not used. The instruments of enjoyment are not used. Abode of enjoyment is not used. Objects of enjoyment are also not there. In deep sleep, even though they are there, they are not used. That is why there is no experience of pain and pleasure in sleep. So to experience the parabdha in terms of experience of pain and pleasure go through, we need the abode of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment and objects of enjoyment. Therefore, it's in avyakritam, avyaktam, and everything is unmanifest also. Our Sanchita Karmani are also unmanifest. Sanchita Karmas are ready for fructification. Only then there's a need for going through experiencing pains and pleasures is there. Therefore, all these, the abodes of enjoyment and instrument of enjoyment, objects of enjoyment, they all have to manifest. Therefore, they all become manifest. When they become manifest, okay, now the abodes of enjoyment are ready. Instruments of enjoyment also become manifest. Objects of enjoyment also is ready. Now, what is missing? The enjoyer. The experience is missing. Isn't it? Therefore, the bhogya prapanchaha, the entire universe, which is an object of enjoyment, and bhoga sadhanani, the instrument of enjoyment, and bhoga ayatanani, the abodes of enjoyment, all of them become manifest. But still, experience is not possible. Enjoyment is not possible. No way. The enjoyer must be there. So here, Upanishad says, having created, now we can say, okay, having created everything, the Lord has entered. Okay, the Lord has created the universe, and having created the universe, Lord has entered into the universe. This, it is as a particular statement saying, Saha. In Taittiriya Upanishad we have a sentence, Tat Srishtva Tadevanu Pravishad. And in Chandogyam also we have a statement revealing that Paramatma entered into the creation. And in Brihadaranyakam also we have Saha Pravishtaha. He entered. Immediately after talking about the avyakritam, unmanifest. Be with me, okay? Be with me. It may sound repetitive of things, but please listen carefully. There was unmanifest. The whole universe was unmanifest, undifferentiated. And from when the Panchita Karmas also were unmanifest, they were ready for fructification and everything becomes manifest. But who is the experiencer, enjoyer? Without the enjoyer, experiencer, how can there be experience possible? Therefore, Upanishad introduces this sentence, statement, Saha Pravishtaha. Saha Pravishtaha. He entered. Saha is a third person singular pronoun, masculine gender pronoun. Is it masculine pronoun? Saha Pravishtaha means he entered. But Upanishad does not say who entered, okay? Just it says he entered. Who is that he? That is not mentioned here. And whenever, having created the universe, he entered means, it's called entry. Praveshaha means entry, isn't it? And the statement revealing the entry of Bhagavan in the creation, entry of the Creator in His creation, the entry of the Creator into the creation, the statement revealing the entry of the Creator into the creation is called Pravesha Shrutihi. Anupravesha Shrutihi. Shrutihi means a Vedic statement. A Vedic statement, Upanishadic statement revealing the entry of the Creator into the creation is called Anupravesha Shrutihi. So because Upanishad introduces Saha Pravishtaha, it says he entered, Upanishad says in this context, we have to ask the question, who entered into this creation? the pronoun, because what is used the pronoun, and the pronoun indicates another noun, and we have to assume here what is, when is this pronoun used now? He entered is expression itself is used after having introduced the creation. The creation, everything has become manifest. Means what? Everything is created, has been created. Everything means what? The objects of enjoyment, the instruments of enjoyment, abodes of enjoyment have been created. And they're all given the names. They're all given the forms. They all have the functions. And even different types of personalities, you know, how a person should be, a physical personality, how should it be, how the intellectual personality should be, what must be the educational qualification, what must be the knowledge of the person, what must be how the person must be emotionally, the anger, jealousy, hatred, fear, etc. And also the person is, now, whether the person is a thin or fat or etc., all these abodes of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, objects of enjoyment, everything has been created. Everything has become manifest when the karmas are ready for fructification. Because we need all of them, only then experience is possible. Then, for experience to make it possible, for the enjoyment to make it possible, and the creator himself entered into the creation, and with this statement is called what? Anupravesha Shrutihi. Saha Pravishtaha. So here the question is asked, is this entry of the creator into the creation is mentioned only after the creation has come into existence, which means, and the before, the, so what is being discussed now is only avyaktam avyakritam, isn't it? Therefore, here the he implies Paramatma. He means what? Paramatma. So Shankara Bhagavad Pada says, he entered means Paramatma entered. Paramatma entered means, again the question comes, when you say Paramatma entered, and how can we say, what was avyaktam, avyakritam, maya, and how can you say Paramatma entered? What was avyaktam? Avyaktam has become vyaktam. Unmanifest has become manifest. That's what I'm saying. Unmanifest has become manifest means, who entered here? We say Paramatma entered. Which means, Paramatma is, avyaktam is Paramatma. Upanishad says, avyaktam is Paramatma. Unmanifest is Paramatma. So here the argument comes, how can we say avyaktam as Paramatma? And Shankara says, avyaktam can be said to be Paramatma because avyaktam, unmanifest, never exists independent of Paramatma. Therefore, unmanifest can be said to be Paramatma. First, he gives his answer. Thereafter, the question comes, avyaktam can mean three factors. The maya alone can be known by the word avyaktam. Or avyaktam also can mean what? Paramatma with power, maya shakti. Or Paramatma by himself can be known by the term avyaktam. So Paramatma or Paramatma with maya shakti. Or maya shakti by itself. All the three can be meant. So here, which should we take here? We should take the maya, or we should take the avyakta, or the Paramatma with Maya Shakti or only Maya Shakti or Paramatma alone? What should we take here? One word can mean all the three. So here Shankara says, we should take it as Paramatma only. These were very different, okay? What was unmanifest, has become the manifest. Then he entered means that he is Paramatma means what? Creator has entered into the creation. Means that avyaktam means only Paramatma. And here Shankara himself gives the meaning. The somebody asks the question, suppose, how can we give three different meanings? With this mere power of the reality, or the reality with its power, or the reality alone. So, Paramatma Shakti, only the power, or the Paramatma with its power, or Paramatma alone. Which is the meaning? Which should we take here? Avyakta means. All the three meanings are possible or what? Yes. Shankara says, all the three means, one word can mean three. It has to be understood in the context. What is the context here? Where the context here is, now, ultimately what is the situation here? We have to understand Jiva, Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupa, Aikyam has to be understood. Ultimately, the individual has to be equated to the Lord, the whole. So, the Swarupa Aikya Jnanam is the important thing here. Ultimate aim is the Aham Brahma Asmi Arch has to take place. Therefore, definitely, we have to take it as only Paramatma. He says, because what is going to come later on, happens to be ultimately the Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. Therefore, in that context, what should we take here? The word Saha Pravishat means, Saha Pravishtaha means, the pronoun Saha should be taken as only Paramatma. See, whether it is interesting or not, but Shankara himself gives his example. How to take three meanings for one word. How it can mean three things. Suppose, let me give another different example. If I say, the town, the people have left the town. People have left the town, vacated the town. The town is now empty. If you say, what does the word town mean? Place or the people? Place. The people have vacated the town means, the town means what? Place or people? Place. So the entire town, has come to enjoy the festival. The entire town has come to enjoy the festival. The word town, what does it mean? People or the town?
People.
So the word town can mean a place. The word town can also mean people. Another context, the word town can mean both people and the place. Don't get into the town where terrorists are. It means both place and the people. That's what I'm saying. So three, all the three. So the one word can give three different contextual meanings. So here also, avyaktam here can mean just Paramatma alone. Or avyaktam can mean Paramatma with the power. Avyaktam can mean mere power also. So he says, but here what should be the meaning? We should take contextually, because Jivatma has to be later on equated to Paramatma. Therefore, the meaning should be taken as only Paramatma. Saha pravishtaha means in that shruti, anupravesha shruti, the state, Vedic statement, Upanishadic statement revealing the entry of the creator into the creation, there the he should be taken as Paramatma. Now the next question comes up. This is very clear now. Who entered into the creation is Paramatma, that is made clear. Is it very important to discuss all these things if we say no? Really speak, Upanishad says, if Upanishad does not promise any benefit of these discussions, and so the unimportant portions, if he says, not unimportant, they do not give any direct benefit. The discussions presented in the Upanishad, they do not give any direct benefit, then they are said, they are known as what? Arthavada Vakyani. Like how Srishtihi, discussion of creation in any Upanishad does not give any benefit directly. Because Upanishad does not say, no, you should know the creation, you should know how the whole universe has come into existence. If you don't know, you become useless. No, you can't attain moksha. Upanishad doesn't say at all. But still, Upanishad itself presents different, Upanishad presents different Srishti topics. Srishtihi. So, even though it's only, so the any discussion which does not give any direct benefit is called what? Arthavada Bhagaha, Arthavada Vakyani. So just as creation does not promise any benefit, discussion of creation, ultimately Upanishad wants to bring to our understanding what the reality is, and that reality is after being available as one's own self, that is the most important thing. Upanishad wants to teach us not the reality. Upanishad wants to teach us you are that reality. Ultimately, Upanishad's aim of the Upanishad is to help us understand the reality, obtaining as one's own self, thereby to sort out our problems. For Srishti, even the direct benefit is not there. It's called Arthavada statements. Vakyani. In the same way, this Anupravesha Shrutihi also, the statement revealing, you know, the creator entering into the creation. Creation, creator's entry into the creation, Anupravesha Shrutihi also is Arthavada Vakyam only. Because it doesn't give any direct benefit for us. There's no direct use for us. But when it is connected to the later on Mahavakyam, it will be useful. But still, it has to be understood. But Shankara takes very carefully, see every small statement he takes. Okay, Avyakta Prapancha he takes. Why? Avyakta Prapancha is also superimposed upon Brahman. Because how can he talk about this universe, superimposition of this manifest universe upon Brahman, if we don't talk about superimposition of unmanifest upon Brahman? Isn't it? Then unmanifest is there, then how does it become manifest? What is that makes the unmanifest become manifest? It is the karma phalani, sanchita karma phalam. So always there is sanchita karma phalam. That is why we can never ask this question, what? Which is the first creation? Okay, when did the sanchitam start? We can never ask. Sanchitam is anadi. There is no first creation. Every time there is, everything becomes unmanifest. All the karmas, sanchita karmani also become unmanifest. Sanchita karmani become ready for fructification, then everything becomes manifest. Everything means what? All the forms, names and functions in terms of the objects of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, abodes of enjoyment, all of them become manifest. And when everything becomes manifest, in these instruments of enjoyment experience, mind also is included. Mind is also included. When the mind is said, mentioned there, then we cannot know the creator. Having created everything, entered into this creation as the experiencer, enjoyer. Creator himself entered into the creation as an enjoyer. There is no enjoyer other than the Creator. Enjoyer is the Creator. Now the question comes, next question comes. Okay, that's made very clear. Who entered means Paramatma entered. When Upanishad says this, it's made very clear there's no such thing called unmanifest other than Paramatma. Even here itself, Maya is very, very carefully negated. Do you notice that? Got it? No. Okay, how did Paramatma enter? There again we have certain arguments. How did Paramatma enter? So, first, it is easy for any person to think Paramatma must have entered into this. Entered means the entry happens to be the noun indicating a verb, which means there is a place where Paramatma is not there, then he enters. Isn't it? Entry of Paramatma, entry means what? Always the noun entry indicates a verb, which means that there must have been a place where the person who enters is not there. But still Upanishad says no, saha pravishtaha, anupravesha shruti is there. So how did Paramatma enter into the creation? So first it is said, it's exactly like there is a person and who constructs his house. Griham nirmati. Nirmana anantaram manushaha grihe pravishyati. He builds his house and after completion of the house work, and he is not there before. The house is empty and he enters into that house. Can we say Paramatma also has entered into the creation, like how the person who constructed the house entered into his house? No, such an entry is not possible. There the person who constructed the house is outside of the house, he is not inside the house, and the house is, which is built, is empty, therefore this person can enter. Whereas Paramatma's entry is not possible because Paramatma is already Sarvagataha, all-pervasive. How can all-pervasive Paramatma enter anywhere? All pervasive Paramatma cannot enter. Therefore, such an entry is not possible. So, Paramatma has not entered into the creation like the person who has built the house enters into his house. No. Such an entry is not possible. The next, okay. Paramatma has not entered into this creation like the person who has built the house. But we can say one person can build a house and other person who constructed the house need not be the one who lives in the house. Who buys the property can enter. Like other person enters into the house. Such an entry is possible. So Paramatma has created this universe. And he allowed Jivatma to enter there. Is such an entry possible? We feel like saying yes. No. Such an entry is also not possible. Why? Because it very, very saha pravishtaha means as soon as he created the universe, he himself has entered. Tadeva tat srishtva tadeva anupravishat. Tadeva anupravishat. Having created, he alone has entered. It is made very clear in Taittiriya Upanishad. It is said, having created, Bhagavan has entered. He didn't say, having created, he gave the somebody else, he asked somebody to enter, he doesn't see. Nowhere it is said. Paramatma asked somebody else to enter. He didn't say that. It is not said there. He created, he entered means what? Which means, therefore, it is so, there's no other, such an entry is also not possible. That one person constructs the house, and other person enters into the property, no. Such an entry is also not possible. Negated. Now the third option. Is it possible to say, always, no, this, the logicians, tarkikaha, arukal nayayikaha, they have different view. For them, the substance, always substance is created first. And after the creation, after a while alone, any property joins the substance. So, substance is called dravyam. Gunaha means, no, we say property. Gunaha, property is called gunaha. And substance is called dravyam. So, dravye gunaha pravishati. Dravye gunaha pravishati. Always property enters into the substance, joins the substance. Which means, property becomes what? Property is dependent on the substance. Property is dependent on the substance. If I say, neelaha ghataha, a blue pot. First the pot is there, okay? And the blue paint is given afterwards. You paint the pot with the blue color. Paint. Now blue has what now? Blue has entered into, property has entered into the substance. But which is dependent on now? Always property is dependent on the noun, isn't it? Substance. Now he says, maybe we can say Paramatma, no, this other Jagat is there. Paramatma has entered into the creation just as the property joins the substance. Good idea. No. Shankara has to. Sir, Upanishad doesn't say all these things. Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, he mentioned, discuss all these things. Mantra just says saha pravishtaha. Finished. If we take only the mantra's word, what do we understand? What can we understand? We entered, finished. It is only Anupravesha Shrutihi does not give any meaning. It's meant for making you understand some other fact later on. For here also Shankara has to say, no, such an entry is also not possible. Dravye yatha gunaha pravishati, just as the tatha, you know, praveshaha, tadrusha praveshaha na shakyate. Not possible. Which means, the substance, the property which enters into the substance is dependent on the substance. If Paramatma enters into the universe like a property, the universe is like the substance, then Paramatma becomes dependent on the universe, creation. The creator becomes dependent on the creation. And the whole teaching will be wrong. Isn't it? We all the time we say Paramatma is Swatantraha, independent. Such an entry is also not possible. So third option also is not possible. Now the fourth option, we can say, maybe how, when the fruit is, Paramatma's entry may be like this. The fruit, any fruit initially is very, very unripe and tender and delicate. We see the whole fruit looks alike, isn't it? If you break the fruit and see, unripe, tender fruit, if you break and see, inside everything looks what? Everything the same. You can't differentiate anything. But the same fruit, when it grows bigger and bigger, it becomes more and more ripe, it becomes perfectly ripe, then so many changes happen. The outermost skin is very thin, and the pulp becomes flesh, and within this fruit, there's a hard portion, and within that hard portion, there's a seed also gets formed. How the fruit by itself, within itself, a given portion, the middle of the fruit, becomes hard and becomes the seed by itself. Similarly, here also, having created this universe, the appearing in the name of the universe, Paramatma within this universe, what now, has become Jivatma. Like how within the fruit the seed gets formed, in due, when it becomes ripe, so also in Paramatma has become Jivatma. Does the entry mean such a thing? Okay? Shankara says here, come on, which means within the fruit the change happens, modifications happen, that is how the seed gets formed, which means here Paramatma Saha Pravishtaha means he entered, means the noun implied is entry. The noun entry is different from the noun change. Entered is different from changed or modified. Meanings are different, completely different meaning. You can't take the meaning of entry, meaning of the word entry, for the meaning of nasty change. That is not possible. Second thing, Paramatma is always said to be of the nature of changelessness. Isn't all pervasive? Paramatma is said to be of the nature of changelessness. Therefore, such a entry does not mean Paramatma has not become a jiva, like how the seed gets formed within the fruit, in the ripe fruit. That's also not possible. Okay, now four options are over, okay? Now what is next? What is possible to think now? It is possible. Exactly like how when we look at the mirror and our face, reflection of our face enters into the mirror. No? Pratibimbaha, mukasya pratibimbaha yatha darpane pravishyati, tatha pravishtaha syat paramatma. Just as the reflection of the face enters into the mirror, that way, Paramatma has entered into the creation. No, such an entry is also not possible. You know why? Because the source of reflection, the face, is different from the instrument, the medium, reflecting medium. The duality comes. That is different, isn't it? The reflecting medium is different from the source of reflection, the reflecting face, reflected face, isn't it? The two are there. Therefore, here there must be Paramatma must be something other. There may be one more something else. Duality will come. Therefore, Paramatma's entry into the creation is not like the entry of the reflection into the mirror. It's also not possible. Okay, it's also not possible. Then what does it mean? So here, Shankara finally concludes saying, because such doubts are possible for people, because directly when you read the Upanishad mantra, Saha Pravishtaha, that nowadays people very genuinely translate literally, he entered, and no other explanation is given. It is possible for us to break our head and think all these ways. In fact, Shankara gives many more things. And these important five always discussed. That's why we take these five important discussions. No way of entry here. What he means is, Paramatma entered means, after mentioning about the creation of the instruments of enjoyment, especially mind, what Upanishad says is, Paramatma is always available in the mind as the truth of the mind, behind the mind, as a source of the mind. So Paramatma's availability as the truth of the mind, witness of the mind, source of the mind, behind the mind alone is mentioned as what? Mentioned through, revealed through the Pravesha Shrutihi. Having created the universe, Paramatma entered means Paramatma is very much there, available for recognition, not anywhere else. Even the Paramatma has become the whole Jagat, manifest as the whole Jagat, have created that, and Paramatma is hiding. Come on, search for me. Hide and seek game. Where is he hiding? He is very much there as the source of the mind, as the truth of the mind, as the witness of the mind. Behind the mind, not in front of the mind, okay? In front of me, we have to search for Paramatma through all the senses. Not in front of the mind, but behind the mind. As a witness, Paramatma is available for recognition. So, the availability of the reality for recognition in one's own mind, behind the mind, as the truth of the mind, as the witness of the mind alone is revealed by this Anupravesha Shruti, entry of Paramatma into this universe. Is it clear? This is very important discussion. Even though it doesn't give direct benefit for us, why do we need to know this? Because if it is not very clear, then we cannot equate this jiva. All it is made very clear just by saying Paramatma alone has entered means the Parama, the one who obtains as the jiva. Okay, Paramatma alone is there as jiva means already Mahavakyam is there. There is no jiva, isn't it? Paramatma alone is there as jiva means what? Jiva is another than Paramatma. Paramatma having entered is given the name jiva, that's all. There is no jiva other than Paramatma. That is revealed even now itself. Therefore, it's all preparation for later on Aham Brahmasmi unfoldment. There he can remind you. Aham Brahmasmi, suppose some objection comes, already it was said in the discussion of the creation itself, even though there's no creation at all, the whole creation I discuss for what purpose? Just to help you arrive at this fact that this the Brahma reality is the term Brahman alone is here. This is Brahman, the Paramatma alone has entered into the creation. Means what? It said already, just to make it easy to appreciate this fact that Paramatma and Jivatma are essentially one. That is why the Saha Pravishtaha, one sentence is taken. And then all this, how did Paramatma enter is discussed here. So important thing is, so here, what is made very clear, only in this Upanishad Bhashyam alone, Shankara makes it very clear that avyakritam avyaktam means paramatma. Not the power, not the maya, is it? Not even paramatma with the power, paramatma himself. Paramatma himself was there. That is why another opportunity said, Sadeva Asit. What was Sat alone. What was what now? Unmanifest means what? So without that, this universe is not possible. Therefore, the causal status is attributed to the Paramatma. From the standpoint of this universe, causal status is attributed. Now, from the standpoint of Paramatma, this whole universe is looked upon as what? The effect status is given. Then once you understand this, oh, the whole universe is Paramatma. There is neither the cause nor the effect. What was Paramatma, what is Paramatma. With Paramatma was without, or no, names, forms, names and functions. Without manifestation and differentiation as one. Now Paramatma is with expansion of forms, names and functions. Isn't it? So this is this unmanifest forms, names and functions becoming manifest and differentiated is what? Is actually called Srishtihi. Therefore, you can say, what is this, every object in this universe, you can say, every object in this universe, suppose if you have a television, or a chair, or a house, or a human being, a living creature, a non-living thing, or a flower, or everything can be said to be what? Nama Rupa Karmanam Vyakaranam. Vyakaranam means, literally it means grammar. Okay? But here it means Vyakaranam means expansion, differentiation. What is television? Television is expansion of form, name and function. Nama, Rupa, Karmanam, Vyakaranam. What is a table? Nama, Rupa, Karmanam, Vyakaranam. Expansion of name, form and function. What is bag? What is computer? Every object you can think. What is this person? Expansion of name, form, name and function. Every object is expansion of form, name and function. Every expansion of form, name and function is Brahma. So, Nama, Rupa, Karmanam, Vyakaranam. Or Abhivyaktihi. Nama Rupa Karmanam Abhivyaktihi. Manifestation of form, name and function is creation. Therefore, creation is Nama Rupa Karmanam Vyakaranam. Creation is nothing but manifestation. What is manifestation? Manifestation is nothing but expansion or differentiation of forms, names and functions. And here, okay, this when he makes it very clear, the next same Shruti, Anupravesha Shruti, based on this statement of Bhagavan's entry into the creation, again doubts come. Then how an ordinary person, he is not a great scholar, not an ayayika, not a tarkika, not any philosopher, an ordinary person's doubt is possible. When you say, okay, Bhagavan has entered into the creation, and Bhagavan's availability of Bhagavan in terms of pure knowledge as a source of mind, as the truth of mind, as a witness behind the mind, is alone revealed through this statement revealing the entry of Bhagavan, if you say, which means you say, The one who entered gets the qualification is what? Jiva. Which means Jivatma is equated to Paramatma. Bhagavan alone has entered as Jiva means what? Jiva is another than Paramatma. Then again the problem comes. There are some people who do not accept this. Some people who don't want to accept. How can we say Jivatma has entered into, Paramatma has entered into the creation as Jivatma? Which means Paramatma, Jivatma is another than Paramatma is already revealed. The Jiva, if we say Paramatma has entered into the creation as Jiva, Jiva becomes equated to Paramatma, there the problem comes. No way. Jiva's Paramatma is always one. And Paramatma entered into being as Jiva means Jivatmas are many. Jivatmas are many, Paramatma is one. How can we equate, you know, the many to one? Is it clear? The doubt comes. It's an ordinary person's doubt, not a great philosopher's doubt. The layman's doubt. Then Shankara says to say, who said jivas are many? How many no words are there? Okay, the one who obtains, who has entered here? The abodes of enjoyment have been created. Instruments of enjoyment have been created. The objects of enjoyment have been created. There is no enjoyer. Therefore, one who has entered there is enjoyer. How many enjoyers are there? How many knowers are there? Knower is one. Enjoyer is one. Experiencer is one. Isn't it? He said, say, the minds are many. Okay, minds are many. Minds are many, therefore the plurality of the minds is mistaken for the plurality of jivas. Is it clear now? Clear or not? Therefore, minds are many, no doubt, but plurality of, it's all mithya. Mind is mithya. Everything is mithya only. But plurality itself is mithya. But when Paramatma has entered there as experiencer, means that jiva is what? Jivas are not many. Jivas are not many. Only Paramatma, obtaining as the experiencer, identified, misunderstood as the body, mind and corpus alone, is given the jiva status. Isn't it? Therefore, jivas are not many. Jiva is one and only Paramatma. Minds are many. Therefore, we should not mistake the minds for the jivas. Okay, this is one answer. The next answer, next doubt comes. If we say, Jivatma is Paramatma. Paramatma alone is there as jiva means. What happens? All the jivas are samsaris. When jiva is equated to Paramatma means, Paramatma will become a samsari. Isn't it? Jiva is a samsari. Jiva is equated to Paramatma, which means Paramatma will become a samsari. So, it is not advisable to say that Paramatma has said as the jiva. Again, yes, when jiva is equated to Paramatma, of course, jiva is samsari, Paramatma is not samsari. It can be like this. Either Paramatma has to become a samsari, because jiva is equated to Paramatma. Or, all the jivas can become asamsaris. All the jivas can become free from samsara. Isn't it? Actually speaking, jiva is Paramatma only. Jiva is only a different title given to Paramatma because of his availability in the mind. Same water obtaining in the wave, form, small form gets the name wave. There is no wave, really speaking. Same water, because of its availability in a given form, small form, is given the name wave. The same way, same one and only Paramatma, obtaining as the jiva, as the witness of the mind, is given the jiva status. There is no jiva other way, isn't it? Therefore, in fact, jiva is never a samsari. Jiva is not a samsari. Why? Because jiva is another than Paramatma already. Isn't it? Jiva is not at all a samsari. And because of jiva, this Paramatma obtaining as the jiva, because of its identity with the mind alone, because of the subjectivity, the samsara is superimposed, attributed. Samsara is superimposed actually. So jiva is not a samsari. Therefore, jivatma being equated to Paramatma does not make Paramatma samsari, make helps jiva discover the freedom which is already there, isn't it? It helps the jiva discover the freedom from samsara being already there. Or jiva being already a non-samsari is revealed. Therefore, jiva being equated to Paramatma is not a problem. Do you get what these things? You all may sound, oh, what is this? It's important to know. We do, because we have done so many Upanishads now, so we are very clear about it. It means, oh, we don't know this already. You don't need to learn all these things. Imagine somebody learns this for the first time. Shankara Bhagavatpada makes efforts to present all these things. Just take one word's commentary. Saha Pravishtaha, one word is the Pravesha Shruti. For this, so much he discusses. So we have a few more discussions. We will continue the next class. At least this has been made very clear, one thing. The gross manifestation is Ishvara, because the gross universe is definitely knowledge manifest. Therefore it's Ishvara. And manifestation of knowledge itself is what? Hiranyagarbha. The source of manifestation is Ishvara. It is very clear now. Source of manifestation of knowledge in terms of pure knowledge and manifest knowledge and the world expression of the manifestation of knowledge. How all three are given Ishvara status. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.